Welcome to Energy in Action. I'm your host, Barcy Young, and as a Mito patient myself, I appreciate you and the community you've helped us to build. This podcast honors the triumphs and struggles of patients and families affected by this disease and celebrates the work being done by doctors and researchers every day to make it a safer world for our people. We are a support group and a podcast focusing on all things related to mitochondrial disease. Welcome to another episode of Energy in Action. Today, I am joined by two very familiar voices in the MitoAction community, Christine Knox and Stephanie Harry. Stephanie is our patient support coordinator and a super creative soul. And Christine is a leader of many of our art-related programs and a Mito champion. So I'm going to welcome both of you to the show, and I look forward to hearing from you about how you got into this creative space. That's what we're talking about today, is art and how art can help in this rare disease life and all of the great options that are provided through Mito Action in the space. So, you know, they have formed together this like pillar of services for Mito Action, and I'm so impressed with both of them. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Mercy.
It is my pleasure. I think what we should start with is introducing each of you and giving you a minute to talk about how you got into Mito Action and how you got into expressing yourself so creatively. Christine, do you want to start?
So how I initially found Mito Action was, it was during the time I was in my diagnostic journey, and I was kind of trying to figure out how to get information. And I came across Mito Action by doing a Google search. So I reached out and, you know, found out that there was a whole Facebook community. And so joined into that and started asking people questions and trying to figure out what this world of Mito was about. And that's kind of where it began.
And so have you always been a creative person?
Yeah, from my earliest memories, I started coloring books, and I didn't just color the odd page. I colored it from cover to cover and spent hours. And every Christmas, I would get a coloring book. And by February, every page was colored, and not just like a little bit, like meticulously colored. And then I started drawing when I was about 9 or 10. Just one day out in the backyard, started drawing our tree and the church in the distance and different things, and blew my parents out of the water with it all. So yeah, it just kind of grew from there.
Wow. Has your interest in art ramped up at all since your diagnosis? Have you wanted to do more in this space?
Yeah, definitely. So my art is my kind of retreat place. If I'm having a lot of pain or stress from whatever I'm dealing with, I quite often will go to my art as a way of escaping the pain. Because once I start drawing, that the pain just kind of disappears. And it just gives me solace and comfort and a place to play and enjoy.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. Stephanie, why don't you share with us your involvement in Mito Action and in the world of creativity?
Yeah. So I became familiar with Mito Action during the pandemic. My son, Christopher, has a condition of the mitochondria called LCHAD. It's a fatty acid oxidation disorder. And Mito Action hosted an online conference that year, virtual. And so that kind of drew me in. I hadn't heard of them before. And at the time, I was a potter and not able to go to my pottery studio. So I also have a background in social work. So I asked if I could start helping out with support calls or support groups. And so now here I am. But my world of art really started when I was in high school. So, I mean, I I always enjoyed art, but I always viewed kind of my sister as the artistic one. I wrote a lot of poetry. You know, high school is a hard time for anyone. And so it was a way for me to just, again, to, like Christine said, to find peace and to be able to figure out how to put words to things that I was feeling. And one of the things that I realized is sometimes there weren't words to express that. And so I started drawing, and it was just with pencils at the time. And it's interesting to kind of look back at some of those initial pictures, you know, just kind of random things that went through my head. But I also was always a doodler. So there's something there with that. And I think better when I doodle. It was my theater teacher that pointed that out. She was like, you know, I don't take offense when Stephanie is doodling in class because I know she's listening. And I looked up at the moment, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting called out. I looked at my paper and there's like doodles all over the paper. But it does. It helps me focus. And she was right. And it stuck with me all these years, because she really could have shamed me about that, right? But she totally didn't. She just embraced, this is Stephanie, and this is how she like understands and listens to the world around her. But for me, it kind of went a step further when I got to college. In my freshman year in college, I lost 3 friends within a 3-week time period of each other. That was a different form of grief than I had ever experienced before. And so I found charcoals during that time, and I started doing a lot of charcoal drawing. And my roommate in college ended up going home and not coming back. And the RA on the floor was like, you know, she just needs some space to be herself. So I was the only freshman with a single dorm my first semester, because they really just gave me that grace of space to be able to process. And one of the things that I realized through that experience is just how much I think our souls need that. There's times that like our souls are crying out, our souls have things to say, but it's really hard to put words to or the depth that we want to be able to communicate. And art picks up that, right? And art is able to connect with other people's souls. And so that was kind of the first thing that I did for myself. And then just in my journey, even before Mito Action, I worked at a domestic violence safe house for a while, and I created a creative expressions group there. So I brought art there. Let's do art, you know? And then I worked at an outdoor program where kids could go there, juvenile detention. And, you know, we brought art there, and just realizing like the power that and the peace that gives to people. And also just Christine and I talked about this. So when Christine and I first met, it was just like when the first time we actually like exchanged conversation, it was just serendipitous. Like we were just so excited. We just talked about art for like an hour. It was amazing. And like one of the things that we talked about, that we were both like, yeah, no, this is horrible, is that sometimes like people think that they are not artists because they've been shamed, like as a child, like, oh, you can't do it this way, or you shouldn't do it that way. But we both like are on the same page. No, like everybody's creative. Sometimes it's been stripped out of people, and so they think that they're not artistic. But I really believe that everyone is. It's just, you know, have you covered it up with other things? Like, are you not being able to see it now? You know, like, and so through that conversation, that's how some of our creative spaces have kind of metamorphosed over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I've seen so many kids who are told, oh, you can't put green and yellow together, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. And I always just think that's just so tragic that their creative spirit is just crushed down. And I always want to build people's creative spirit up and encourage them to just experiment, to not worry about what the outcome is, but just to have fun in the moment and really make their creative expression be about the experience rather than the outcome.
Mm-hmm. And I think like one of the things that you made me think of, Christine, with that is when Christopher was in third grade, they all did these elves for their class. And, you know, everybody like had colored in the lines and had like, you know, made like a green hat or had made like, you know, red pants. And I walk in, and here's Christopher, the color of the face of the elf is like, striped, and it's like orange and white, and like, and then like the, like there's like polka dots that he created like all over the pants. I mean, his looked so different, and I still have that elf. I hang it up every year. I love it because to me, like, that's what it's about, is teaching people to think outside of the box, right? And our Mito community is constantly having to think outside of the box. So to me, like, our Mito community are some of the most creative individuals in daily living, like, it, you know, because you have to be, and that's really what you want your medical team to be too, right? Like, not coloring in the lines all the time, but being able to like put in some polka dots and, you know, random stripes there, and, you know, make green eyes or whatever, you know. So,
well, I mean, hey, we're you know, horses of a different color anyway. So why not be different in our art expression?
That's right.
This makes it so much sense.
What a great way to sum it up from both of you. I want to give you both time to talk about your Mito art projects, your Mito art projects. So how have they developed and how do they look today? I'm sure we have listeners out there that would love to take advantage of these programs. Maybe they needed a push or more information. So Christine, do you want to start us off with the kinds of things that you lead within Mito Action in the art space and how people can get involved?
Well, we're always looking for someone who would like to present. So, and we support them in that completely. Like, Stephanie is just amazing to make sure that they have all the resources that they need. She'll support them with the advertising, of course, and all of those things that will make whatever session they're teaching workable. And so we're looking for anyone who has any kind of artistic expression. So it might even be somebody wants to talk about how they write poetry and do a little workshop on how they come up with ideas and thoughts and what generates poetry for them, and just share that kind of perspective, or a knitter who has a project that they want to share, or a photographer. Like, it doesn't matter what the creative expression is that they have. We would love for them to share it with the community, because there's always something we can each learn, even if it's not like, I know absolutely nothing about photography, and I don't really have an interest to learn it myself, but I would still find value in hearing how somebody does photography and expresses themselves with that. Like, I forget the name of the fellow that did that in the art show yesterday, but he was just amazing. He's 81-year-old man who took that. He couldn't go out in nature anymore and take photographs, so he started taking them from windows, and it was just so remarkable to see that expression. I think his name was Paul, correct?
Yeah, it's Paul. I was like, let's give a shout out to Paul.
Good memory.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, any kind of creative expression should be captured within the Mito community, because it all makes a difference.
Christine, are you speaking about Mito Artisans?
Yes,
Mito Artisans. Okay, so that's the name of the program.
Yes, that's the name of the program, Mito Artisans Playtime. And we generally try to get together once a month.
Sometimes, is it usually the same time each month?
Yeah, typically on a Sunday afternoon. The date may vary because it depends on my availability. And then also, if there's other presenters, they may need a different time or day or something like that. So we try to accommodate all of that. It seems like Sundays work fairly well for most people. We're open to changing times or days because we recognize that a presenter may not be good in the afternoons potentially, and so, you know, they may need to present in the morning, but that gets a little difficult for me where I'm on Pacific Standard Time, so that's why we tend to do it later in the afternoon for Eastern Standard Time, and then it works for me for Pacific Time. But we can do it whenever suits the presenter and hopefully the audience as well. We try to be as flexible as we can with that.
So generally, Marcy, there's two kind of like art spaces. There's the Mito Artisan Playtime, and then there is the yearly art show. The Mito Artisan Playtime kind of got born out of the art show because Christine participated in the first art show, submitted beautiful work, and then we had a conversation afterwards, and she's like, "We need to do a little bit more throughout the year." And I was like, "What are you thinking?" And so that's kind of how Mito Artisan's Playtime developed, and we've had, you know, Christine has come on and taught us how to draw, and I taught us how to draw a zebra. And these things are recorded. So if you're listening to this and you're like, "Well, that's cool," and you want to go back and view it, they're online. You can go back and watch Christine. I don't know if you know this, but I describe you to other people as like the female version of Bob Ross. So like whether you and it's for real. So whether you like, if you like watching art, but you're not really sure if you're ready to like pick up a pencil, still go on, because watching Christina, she's doing this art, is amazing. And then just the tips and tricks and stuff that she gives along the way. But we also had the chance to host an Elhan patient who is visually impaired and is a painter. And so she gave tips about how to paint when you have vision loss. And that was super fun. And then I just talked to a fellow who does healing through writing. And so he's gonna join us in February and do a writer's workshop. So,
wow.
Yeah. So what I love is that Christina's so open. It's like, come, share your gifts, share your skills. Like, you know, there's so much to learn. And it's fun, too, because, you know, we get to sit with each other in that creative space, ask questions.
Supportive.
Yeah.
But then with the art show, that's more of preparing some items on your own time, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or it can be something that you created during a Mito Artisan Play Space. So once a year, this was our third year. It was actually last night. And once a year, I would say like around the end of September or so, I try to do it a month. I try to give people a month where we announce like, "Hey, we're coming up for the art show. Start getting your wheels thinking and your paintbrushes going." But also just reminding people that it's an open mic and an art show. And so that means people can submit poetry. People can submit a comedic act. We haven't had anybody do that yet. But we have a very funny community. So I am expecting that will happen in the future. We've had people submit pictures of items that they've knitted, items that they've cross-stitched, and, you know, paintings and drawings. I mean, really anything, like charcoal. It's a really beautiful space. Every year has a different kind of overarching theme or topic that I encourage the community to kind of think about. And then people submit their work and I put it together through iMovie, and then there's a video presentation. And so on the actual art show night, we all come together and we watch the video together, and people have a chance to kind of respond through the chat like about people's work. And then we have an artist talk back session where people can share what pieces made them feel, where they can ask the artist questions, where the artist can share what their thoughts were, or if they want to share extra. And that artist talk back session is never recorded. So it's just a super intimate space. So if you don't come, you miss it. But it's, you know, the actual show is recorded. So if you're like, "I've never heard of this before," you should definitely go check out our art shows online from the last 3 years, because the work that the community has brought together is absolutely amazing. Like it's one of my favorite things to do, because like you have these pieces and it's like pieces of people's souls that they've offered up. There's like this intense amount of vulnerability that goes into like sharing. Like this year it was, you know, sharing your Mito truth. I mean, there's a lot of vulnerability that goes into that. And you see how people's lives overlap, how they're different, but also just how no matter where we're at in our journey, we can all hold space for each other. And so you don't have to feel alone. And so I think that's one of the greatest beauties of being able to do the show, is I hope that people realize like, "Oh, my experience, like other people have experienced that." But also, no matter what I'm experiencing, I don't have to experience it alone. And again, it goes back to that soul piece of like, sometimes there's just not words to describe, like, you know, whether you're having a good day or a bad day, you know, like sometimes it's really hard to put a regular conversation, right? Poetry is words, but, you know, it's a different kind of word. So
in the show yesterday, there was two musical pieces that were submitted, and the lyrics in the music were just so heart-wrenching and emotionally evocative. It just blew me out of the water. And I know there was some people that said that it should be published because, or is that the right word? Published?
Yeah, they asked, like, can we do a playlist? Like, how do we get a playlist of the music from the presentation? Because all the music that was on there this year, well, maybe there was one maybe like Apple thing that I put behind, anyways, but almost all the music was like done by patients. There's Matt Check, gonna give you a shout out. I might be saying your last name wrong, but he does beautiful piano pieces every year, and he submitted two this year. So we had one for some of the paintings to sit behind, and then one of him just playing. And then we had Melanie Rodriguez. She shared two songs that she did, and Josie's husband, Stasa, also shared a song that he wrote about Josie's diagnosis when they first found out that she was diagnosed. And oh, I just, every time I listen to that song, I know, you just feel his love for her and just their love. And it's just, I just cry. Like, it's just beautiful. It's so beautiful.
It was amazing. I can't even express in words. Like, I'm not gifted with words the way those songwriters are. And I so respect their ability to do that.
And I think that's the fun thing too about the art show and Mito Artisans is that you get to explore other mediums, right? So like, you know, Christine, you are an amazing, you know, artist with pencil crowns, and I'm a potter. So like, I love dirt. I haven't figured out how to bring that to the Mito Artisan space, but like, I love that I'm learning more about how to draw with pencil crowns, and I have my own set of pencil crowns now. And, you know, like, and just, you know, I'm excited to like, so that's just something to consider. Cause sometimes as we age, right, we think like, oh, well, I don't know how to do that. So it's always good to learn something new. So if you're like, well, I don't know how to draw, well, come, you know, Christine will show you.
We're or work
I don't
progress.
Know how to knit. Come, Karen will show you. Like,
it's not the time to learn has never ended, right?
Yes.
We're a work
right.
in progress.
That's right.
So both of these programs, Mito Artisans Playtime and the Art Show, they both have pages that live within the Mito Action website, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I really encourage you to check out both areas because everyone really does need a creative outlet, especially when you're weighed down with such heavy natured stuff throughout the year, you know, and we all know how tough that can be. Everything you both are saying is so accurate, how, you know, the supportive nature of it all and being able to express yourself in new ways is just, it's so important.
I do want to mention too, Marcy, that it's not age definitive. And I guess like what I mean by that is you can come to both spaces or submit work in both spaces no matter how old you are. So I think like sometimes people think like, oh, that, you know, like I don't know how to draw, so I don't want to come. That looks like too whatever. Like, no, come. Like, this is for everybody in the community, no matter where you're at. You know, we've had
young kids participate in the drawing, and what they've produced has been amazing. So yeah, and then you know, I don't know how old our oldest person that participated in the Mito Artisans Playtime, but in the art show, Paul was 81. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're never too old or too young to participate.
That's right.
I love that. So how has our Mito community surprised you throughout these programs?
I have been absolutely blown away with the creativity that people have, and not just like in one area, like they seem to be so multifaceted and creative in lots of different ways. And I knew that the community would have that because I truly believe that when something is taken away from you, and in our case, it's our health, then something can fill that void. And that's certainly what happened for me. Was I was always artistic, but my life kind of got in the way of being able to be expressive with my art. I was too busy earning an income as a floral designer, which is still a creative outlet, but a different kind of creativity. And so when I got sick and I was looking for something to do with that creative energy that I had still, I turned to two things, actually, to my drawing. And then I also created Mito Quilts of Hope, which is another element of my creativity. And I know we've done a podcast about Mito Quilts
of
Hope that people can also listen to. And so filling that void in all of the different ways that people do has just amazed me, like how they turn into that and look for new areas that they can express themselves is just such a wonderful thing to see.
When I was listening to you speak just now, I was thinking about how we can feel so down on ourselves. Like, I often know, at least for myself, that it's so easy to be upset with myself at my poor balance and my droopy eyelids and I can't see. And, you know, the list goes on, my back, like, it just goes on and on, right? But then this might be something that I can do seated where I'm most comfortable and with my hands that I can still use. So for me, it could create something where I could maybe build some self-confidence that I don't have right now, you know, because I'm just getting down on myself all the time for all these things I can't do. But this is a space that we really can. Hopefully there's really not much standing in our way, especially hearing, you know, someone who's visually impaired teaching painting. You know, there's all different ways to go about this. And a lot of times there's not that many ways that we can go about other parts of our lives. So
that's right.
This is important.
And that's something we try to think of. Stephanie and I both have really tried to be as inclusive as possible with what we're doing. And sometimes the way I work might be harder for somebody who's visually impaired, but we wanna always support them in whatever ways we can to be able to achieve something they're happy with. It doesn't matter whether anybody else thinks it's good or not. That to me is not even a valid thing to even consider. It's like something that feeds them, makes them feel good about themselves. And so whenever I'm teaching, I always say, like, don't judge yours against somebody else's. Just really think about what you've been able to accomplish. And that's all it should be about, is feeding your soul. Feeding anybody else is beyond the, you know, it's not even important, you know, as long as it's meaningful to you.
And to Christine's point too, there's something that you said that, oh, it's kind of like what I think you were both kind of saying together, in the sense that, you know, with lack of the energy, there's adaptive tools that you can use, like Marcy. So, like, you know, it is nice, like, if you're drawing and you're sitting down, but for some people, like, maybe their hands or arms are weak and they need certain tips and tricks. Like, if you come, one of the things that I've loved about Christine's sessions is that she's more than willing to share all of her tips and tricks. I think the first or second one, like, you're talking about your Mito, you're talking about how your Mito, like, affects your work and how you've had to kind of work around that. Like, it's a great space to explore that, because sometimes we might get frustrated because we're not able to do it. Maybe you're an artist and you're like, well, I can't do art the way that I used to. Like, and so you're just frustrated. So you don't want to even deal with it.
Live in that frustration.
Mm-hmm. Instead of like, okay, well, now how do we get creative with it? How do we spin that? You know, there's a dear friend, Matt, and he's, his vision has been declining. And we talked just a lot about Monet, because Monet had, you know, like, Monet lost his vision and it changed the essence of his work, but he was still creating beautiful work. And so it just looked different. Like, it just, it, you know, and there's a number of other artists that are like that too. Or I also was thinking of, and I'm going to forget her name, Christine, maybe you remember, there's an artist and she was in a car accident. Her name starts, anyways, it starts with an F, but she picked up art because of her disability and not being able to do what she, you know. So sometimes the challenges that are thrown our way thrust us into this, like, beautiful space of being able to uncover some of these gifts that we have that we didn't even realize.
Very, very true.
But like one of the things that I always try to think of when I'm creating is there some tool that I use that I just take for granted? And so one of the things that I use is I use an Ott light that has a magnifier on it and really awesome light level, and you can adjust it to warm or cool or, you know, various intensities. And just having the right lighting for a lot of artists it's going to make such a difference when they have the proper lighting to be able to maximize whatever vision they have. And then like myself, I'm right-handed and I have a right-sided tremor. And so I've had to learn to adapt my own drawing to accommodate my tremor. And so one of the things I learned early on when it started is that I have to support my hand at all times. And so the difficulty with that is when you're drawing with a lot of things like pencil or colored pencil or charcoal, is if you're touching your surface, you're not only transferring some oils from your hand, but you're also potentially smudging your work. And so I've learned to use a type of paper. It's kind of almost like wax paper, something similar to that, but it's called glassine paper. And it doesn't transfer your drawing material over on other parts of the drawing surface. So it's just little things like that I've figured out over the time that I've needed to accommodate my particular issues, and learning things like even just stepping away from your art for a little while to give your body a chance to rest and then to come back with fresh energy. And just, you know, really, it seems like obvious things sometimes, but really it's not. Like sometimes you get so caught up in your head about doing it the way you used to do it and needing to give yourself permission to do it in a different way. And that's so important. And
hopefully that methodology bleeds into other parts of our lives too.
Right. And I'm hoping that Mito Artisan's playtime can set people up to think differently, think outside of the box, and not just with their creativity, but with their whole life. Like, you know, we have to be very adaptive with Mito because our energy level fluctuates, you know, our pain level fluctuates, how everything is working in our bodies is just constantly changing. And so we have to figure out ways to navigate that in every part of our life. And I think if you have adaptive skills in one area, it helps to transfer to other areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think we're able to offer through Mito Artisan's playtime, is that neuroplasticity, flexibility, ooh, all of those things that we hear about, and it's just a different way of presenting it.
You're really growing a very important skill, like anytime you dive into art. And I think that, you know, I think that's why it's so devastating when art is removed from school, or like, you know, people don't value the arts. It's like what you're stripping away, you don't even realize.
It's beyond that classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, anyone doing art, like Christine said, it bleeds into everything you do. When Christopher was born, and, you know, when he was up until the age of like 4, he could only get 3 grams of fat a day through food. And now he can only get 10 grams of fat a day through food. But the amount of like my ability to like understand like my creative space enabled me to be able to be creative with his food, you know, not just like in some ways in presentation, because if you can make food look fun, right, like then you're like, okay, so and that was always helpful. But just even like, okay, how do I substitute, how do I be gracious with myself when something comes out and it's horrible? Because art is also about failing. You're not gonna like everything that you do. People are not gonna necessarily like it, and are you okay with it, right? Like, you have to be okay with that it is what it is and that you created it, and you also have to be okay to say, yep, this is not what I intended. And so being able to have that skill set already allowed me to be able to approach his food a little less dramatically, you know. So it does, it bleeds into all areas of your life.
Well, before we close out today, ladies, I am curious, each of you, I want to hear your answers. Do you enjoy going to art galleries and museums, or is creating at home really your wheelhouse?
So I have gone to art museums and enjoyed them and art shows and different things like that. Since Mito came into my life as fully as it did, I'm limited on my energy to be able to do things like that. But I like to look at art in lots of different other ways now. So I've joined a number of Facebook groups that other artists belong to where they show their work that way. So I get an amazing exposure to all kinds of artwork that way. And that kind of fills my creative well up really nicely. And then I tend to do more at home, you know, and but I have participated in other courses, and some of those I do online, some of them I've done in person. And so I always look for opportunities and in lots of different ways.
To immerse yourself. That's cool. I always appreciate when museums have benches throughout and get very frustrated if I go to one and realize that there is nowhere to find a seated reprieve. It makes such a difference for me. But that's why it's also nice to go places where you're familiar with and you know what you're going to find, you know? Stephanie, do you enjoy being out in the arts, or do you enjoy just being at home creating? And so there's all right. Everything's a right answer.
Right. Well, to me, it almost bleeds together. Like, I just kind of see like life as art. So like, I don't really, you have these spaces, right, that you can go to where people can display their art. And that's amazing. And when we lived in Atlanta, you know, I definitely took advantage of the High Museum and used to take Christopher there, and he would put his hands in his back pocket walking around so he didn't touch anything. But really, you know, when I was like walking outside of my house, we don't live in Atlanta anymore, and was looking for a leaf for Christine's last Mito Artisans. I mean, to me, like the leaves and the leaf changes and just looking at like, that's art, right? Or like occasionally his MCT oil bottle will leave a unique pattern on the kitchen counter. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful, you know? So there really is, you know, beauty all around us. How do we take time to see it? Do we take time to see it, you know? Or how does it get clouded? So I think about that a lot. I mean, I love being in my art and creating it. To me, it takes energy. Like, it's not always like a give energy kind of back kind of thing, but it takes energy in a good way. Like, and so I'm very aware when I go into those spaces, I want to make sure I have enough energy to do that. The only caveat I would say, a space that I struggle more with is I've done a couple art shows, and I struggle when I'm like the person like in those spaces, because like I would rather my art speak for itself. And sometimes like, you know, yeah. So sometimes when I've been into those spaces where people want to, but when it's large groups of people, now if somebody comes over to my house, I could talk to them about like my art for hours, and that's cool, right? You know, that would be fine. But in the art show space, that's a little bit more, I don't know what it is about it, that's a little more intimidating. So yeah, that's kind of my roundabout thought theory.
Well, thank you both so much for sharing with us how important art is to you and expressing yourself, and hopefully inspiring some of those listening to do the same in their lives, or think about things in a different way, or start coming to Mito Artisans Playtime. They're both shaking their heads. They want to see you.
Yeah. I mean, it's playing. I think sometimes we forget to play. You still come and play with us.
Right,
it'll be fun.
It's so important.
I would be so thrilled if we grew our Mito Artisan Playtime community to like hundreds of people.
Oh, like, yeah.
That sounds really ambitious, but I mean, I think of how many people with Mito there are.
Yeah.
And I would love for everyone to experience that creative side of themselves as part of their healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so having a space where they can actually enjoy that and experience that, to me, is so important for our community. And I just, it just is something that's how this grew for me, was I wanted to offer our community the ability to play and enjoy a space that they could be understood and accepted, and for wherever they are in this moment, and just, I don't know, I don't even know how to put it into words exactly, but just to really be able to just have fun and experience their own creativity.
Well, thank you for creating that for our community, Christine. That is such a big deal. And you too, Stephanie. This organization is so beautiful because we really can make such an imprint and help, you know, the rest of our people in so many different ways. And art is one of the ways that the two of you help. And I very much appreciate both of you. So thank you for being here. And thanks for teaching us about all you do in this space. And I'm sure we will have both of you back on the podcast sometime soon.
Thanks, Marcy.
Thanks, Marcy.
Thank you for joining us. I encourage you to browse other Energy in Action podcast episodes. I am so inspired by the resilience of those in previous episodes, and I know you will be too.